Team, we appreciate you leading us into worship, into the presence of God this morning. I want to start out this morning proclaiming that I am a follower, a believer, and a son of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That path has changed the trajectory of my life. I am no longer who I started out to be in high school and in early college before I really had the Spirit of God begin to move in me. And when He got a hold of my life, He began to slowly change the direction of where I was going and what I was doing. And as a result of that, I stand before you this morning willing to share His truth and His words to you. This morning we're going to be talking about a huge topic called social justice. What is justice? We'll explore that in just a little bit. Before we get there, I want to let you know Pastor Carlene sends her best. For some of you, you may have received a picture and a short message from Estes Park, Colorado, this morning, where the sun was shining, the skies were blue, there was a few clouds off in the distance, and there was snow on the ground. And she sends her best and is praying for us this morning. We also have several of our people, Marcus and many of his team, that are at a leadership conference as well for their businesses that they have. So we've got several people that are not here. Today we're going to be looking at the second message in the series of Free to Be. And these topics have come from the articles and items from the Free Methodist Church that caused them to break away from the Methodist Episcopal Church in 1860s. These topics are like the things of freedom from slavery, freedom for all races to worship together, freedom for all men and women to be treated respectfully and use their gifts equally in the church, freedom for the laity and clergy to be given equal authority in decision-making positions in the church, freedom for the Holy Spirit to inspire our worship, and finally, freedom. And the topic that we will be talking about this morning, freedom for all to be treated with dignity in the church and with justice in the world. Let's take a look from the Free Methodist Book of Discipline, and just so that you have an idea of the flavor of what we believe. It says, we are committed to the worth of all humans, regardless of gender, race, color, or any other distinctions. And we will respect them as persons made in the image of God and redeemed by Christ's death and resurrection. Now, this is tagged on to the back that I think is very important. Remembering our tendencies as people to be prejudicial. As Christians, we must grow in awareness of the rights and needs of others. We will talk about some of these issues that we find ourselves up against today in our society that cause us to feel and act prejudicial. Thank you. I want to also note that the underlined words are those words that are, again, in your notes to fill in on, for those that like to take notes. For a period of time in the Methodist Episcopal Church, the more you gave in tithe, the closer you set to the front of the church. Okay? Now, if you weren't able to give anything, you were probably sitting on the floor somewhere in the back. Now, I don't know. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. And I think today, if it was that, though it was a rule, it would be the more you gave, the closer you set to the back, because that's what generally most people like to do, or at least in the middle. So you'd get to pick your seat is what he it'd probably be closer to what was the truth. What I'd like to do this morning, just for a quick exercise, please, would you stand? And if you can't stand, that's okay. Just remain where you're at. But please stand for just a moment. I'd like to have Greta and Doug come up, and they're going to rearrange us just a little bit. So they're going to help you identify where you're going to sit. So, and you will be able to move back to your original seats. So, but just as a quick exercise, please just follow their direction. It'll take just a moment. Just to, you want to sit? Oh, you can move back to the back, Tom. Okay, we almost there? Okay. Justice is defined as just behavior or treatment, a concern for justice, peace, and a genuine respect for people. Synonyms for justice are fairness, fair play, fair-mindedness, equity, even-handedness, impartiality, objectivity, neutrality, honesty, righteousness, morals, and morality. Who can tell me why you're sitting the way you are? Any ideas? Because you're special. Absolutely. Put short people in the front. Okay. Isn't it obvious?
See a lot of girls in the front.
See a lot of girls in the front. Isn't it obvious? It's because of the thickness and the length of your hair. That's why Tom's sitting in the back on the floor. Greta, can you, because I'm running this show. Greta, can you pass out the things that we have here for those in the front row? Now, can't you see? Everybody sees the difference in the length and the consistency of your hair. Everybody knows that the longer, thicker hair, people deserve more. After all, God made them that way. It obviously determines how smart you are, doesn't it? It's obvious that he loves you more. Look at your hair. Isn't this almost as ridiculous as some of the prejudices that we find in our world today? Go ahead and return to your seats. And I'd like to ask Doug and Greta to return justice to our place of worship here. Everybody will get the bar of chocolate, whether they were sitting in the front row. Social justice is something that pertains to us in our time and during our day now. Social justice is something that changes over a period of generations, so sometimes there's other injustices, prejudices, and things that have happened. But, you know, the one thing that I've found that is constant with justice is that there's always something that is unjust in our world today. And many times it's the same basic thought or premise that finds its way through. And quite often it's because of a class or a riches or a something that creates an issue of separation between people. What were some of the social issues that Jesus had in his time? The Pharisees and Sadducees were the ruling class of the church at that point. And what I want to talk about this morning is the social injustice that was within the church, not within the society of that time, but within the church. What were some of those things? The Pharisees and Sadducees, who were the ruling class of the church, in order to be acceptable, you had to be of Jewish descent and blood. If you weren't, you had a whole lot of rules and things to jump through to even access into the temple. If you were a Gentile, meaning somebody that didn't have any Jewish blood, you were considered unclean and therefore couldn't access the inner courts of the temple to where God was at. If you were a Samaritan, Samaritan had Jewish descent and blood in their line, but they had purposely, as a line of people, allowed other, other races into their history, and so the Jews considered them unclean. And therefore, if they were unclean, you could not come into the presence of God, into the temple. Along with that, there were Jews who were considered unclean. Those that had leprosy were considered unclean and couldn't come before God. Those who had, like the woman that we find in Scripture about, had the issue of blood, was considered unclean, and therefore she couldn't come into the presence of God. The social issue of that time was the ruling class that was protecting God from the unclean. Jesus came. Jesus came. And in Matthew 9 through 12, we begin to see how he ultimately began to deal with the social issues of his day. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Jesus set a new standard. He did not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. Jesus also talked about attitudes toward others. He said it was not just how you think of yourself, but how you think and act toward others. In Matthew 7, 1 through 5, it says, do not judge others, and you will not be judged, for you will be treated as you treat others. Hear that. You will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use is in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Do we do this? Do we judge others for things we see in them, whether we know them or not? Come on now, when you're driving or walking down the road and you see that person, what goes through your mind? Who do you judge? Why do you judge? Was it something they did to you? Was it something you learned from a family of origin? Was it something that you learned in church? Ouch. Was it society teaching you something? Don't we have plenty of opportunity in society to pick up on prejudices and injustice? Or was it by osmosis? You just picked it up because you were around people that had feelings that way. For me in my life, most of my prejudice came from osmosis. It was sitting around, hearing and feeling the topics around the dinner table, around the topics of the community when we go out to restaurants and my parents would be talking and others would be joining in and we'd hear about the issues that were taking place. And so by osmosis, I began to see that. And when we began to get involved in the church, I began to hear how those people were doing those sins that God didn't like. And therefore, they were in error. Often, in our osmosis, we try to get away with our prejudices by making it a cause. It's an issue that we blame, and we don't realize that issue, in order to do that, quite often it requires people who are those people who are doing that issue that caused the problem. It's taken me years of God challenging my beliefs to change me. Do I think I'm 100% there? No, I still get caught. I still have my wife and others that will challenge me on some of my children, especially on some of my belief systems and the things that I say. And I have to repent and say, I'm sorry for my belief system. That's why I wanted you to hear out of the front that through my belief in Jesus Christ, He has begun to change me to who I need to be in Him, so I can see those areas that have been dysfunctional in my life and where I've picked up and excluded people from God's beauty and His salvation. You know, I still have conversations at least once a year with family members that are over in the Central Oregon area, and they tell me how bad the Hispanic community is over there. I mean, after all, don't you know that they're the ones that are bringing the drugs up from California and bringing the drugs up from Mexico, and they're coming right up the Highway 97 right into Central Oregon? They're the ones that are taking all the jobs. They're the ones, and this one really, just really amazed me, they're taking over all the local restaurants and turning them into Mexican restaurants. All you got to do, Ted, is look around. Look at all the Mexican restaurants. Well, yeah, but at least they're entrepreneurs and taking care of themselves. But you see, osmosis has impacted them as well. And they feel like that the cause, there's no jobs, the drugs are coming in, we got to blame somebody. Who do we blame? But you hear from them, I'm not prejudiced. Don't you know I'm not prejudiced? What are you saying that I'm prejudiced for? It's those people with the problem. Jesus also clearly sent a message about those who were unclean. The lepers, the woman with the issue of blood. Leprosy is a disease that is spread by touch. If you were considered unclean, you were considered unclean if you had leprosy, and therefore you could not come into the presence of God. You could not come into the house of God. Matthew 8:1-3, Jesus says this. Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the mountainside. Suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Jesus reached out and touched him. Jesus approached everyone in his time with a different attitude from the socially and religious norm of the day. You may say, Ted, those are really good stories, but things are different today. The church is not that bad. I am not like that. In the last 6 months, within a half a mile of my workplace in Tigard, there's been 2 substantially sized homeless camps that have been removed from the wooded areas within the city limits of Tigard. Both these camps were removed at the cost of the owners of the property by the mandate of the city. The owners had to hire a company that specializes in the removal and cleanup of a homeless camp. Did anybody know there was such a company out there? It's a very large company out of Seattle that goes around the whole Northwest and deals with homeless camps and removes them. The evacuation of the camps went something like this. With a police presence, the owner and the representatives of the company went in and gave notice to those in the camp that they would have to evacuate in a few days. When that time came, the police observed as the company began to pack up possessions of those in the camp, separating things that were apparently acquired through theft and things that were personal items of those in the camp. They helped the people move those items to the street and even covered the items with a tarp and informed them that in a few days that they would remove the items and dispose of them if they hadn't been removed. It's on a street right by my office. Most of those items had to be collected and disposed of. Why? Because they were homeless. Where are you going to move your items? During this time, the city had patrols that were going through the local parks, making sure that they weren't setting up camp there. So not only did they remove them, but they didn't give them any place to go, and they kept them from setting up in the parks. While the cleaning was being done, they found 2 meth labs in the camp area. which meant that an additional company had to come in to do the hazardous cleanup at the additional cost of the owner to deal with this. There were many things like propane tanks. I saw at one point 20 to 30 of them stacked up alongside the road that were obviously stolen from surrounding homes and businesses, including one from my business. We keep ours locked up, but somehow they found a time when one wasn't and pulled it out and had it out there. So you know how our business was impacted by this camp. Often we would find evidence of our delivery trucks being gone through, looking for items of value that they could take. We would have those who would sleep on the cement deck of our front doors. Our front doors is a stairway and a cement deck that's about 4 to 6 feet wide, and it's covered. And often we would come in early in the morning and find people asleep on that deck. We would often have the alarm go off for someone that had broken into our offices or our warehouse. Many times we would have the city come, or not city, but the local people, residents of the area, come to us and say, join with us to go to the city and see if we can't get this camp resolved. Homeowners, businesses, the city was all impacted by this homeless camp. Sorry. Did you see what I've been doing? I've depersonalized the issue. This is a homeless camp. This is thieves. These are people with problems without telling you about the people. Isn't that what we do today? We pick up the cause and the issue and forget that there's people behind it, that there's people that are homeless, that have no place to go. Homelessness is a huge issue in our society today and in our area. How you feel about homelessness, how you feel about social justice, whatever the issue is, quite often is which side of the street, which side of the fence you're on regards to the issue. If you're the property owner, did he invite them to his wooded area that he has? No. So I didn't give him permission to go on my property. Why should I have to pay to have it cleaned up? Why can't the police do their job and take care of this homeless camp and make them leave? Look at what they cost me. I'm not the bad guy here. It's not my fault. Why am I paying? But he still had a choice. Property and business owners next door to where the camp is located. Why can't the police do something about the crime in this neighborhood? I can't tell you how many discussions I had with people around the community talking about this. Why doesn't the owner of the property put up private property signs or something? Like that's going to do anything. It's not our fault. But you still have a choice in what you're going to do about it. Let's not forget the city and the police officials who have responded to the calls in the criminal activities. I can tell you of at least a half a dozen times that I called the police myself to deal with what was missing from our place of business. We've responded and removed these camps, and they just keep coming back. What should we do that will make a difference? It's not my fault. But they still have a choice. Let's not forget the last group in the equation, the homeless. Why are they out in the woods anyway? I've lost my job. Rent is high, too high to afford everywhere. Every time I try, it's like everybody's against me. I've tried to get straight. I've tried to find a home. I've tried to find a place that I can afford. Do you think I really want to be on the streets? What can I do? It's not my fault. You still have maybe they don't have a choice. There are plenty of fingers to point to blame with responsibility. As Christians, as a church, what should our response be? It's not our fault? Or do we have a choice? Did you notice what Jesus did for the injustices of his time? He did not solve the problem. He did not solve the problem of the class issues with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He did not solve the problem of leprosy going away completely 100% of the time. He did not solve the issues of the Samaritans having a bloodline that wasn't pure Jewish. What did he do? He challenged attitudes toward those who find themselves in a different situation than others. He saw people just as that people. He didn't see them as Jewish. He did not see them as unclean. He did not see them as lepers. He did not see them as a class. He saw them as people. He challenged us by his actions to treat all others as we would want to be treated. Now, wait a minute. Even if we're having to remove them from our property? I mean, even if they're stealing from me? Even if they're sleeping on my front porch of my business, I have to treat them the same? Even if they have less than a full head of hair, we got to treat them the same? What can we do? As a response to the homeless issue in our business, this is what we did as a company. We had a mandate to our entire staff that we treat everyone with dignity and respect. When we found them sleeping in our covered area, we would gently wake them and offer them coffee before they had to leave, letting them know that we understood and that we were not going to stop them from sleeping there, but that they would have to be gone before opening hours of business and things would have to be cleaned up. We had a woman who would be hanging around the smoking ashtray that we have out on that deck and come to find out that she was going through it to get cigarettes because of her addiction. So we began to leave full packs of cigarettes out for her. We have a faucet on the side of the building near where they would sleep, and we would leave that faucet on so that they could have fresh water. Even to the point of, at one point, getting the water from there to their camp was difficult, so we got a stainless cooler for them to take back with them. We knew that we could not solve all or even some of the homelessness issues in our community. However, we knew that we could treat people with dignity, no matter the lot of their life. Can I ask you a question? Who stood for you in your life? And how did that change your direction? For me, one of the people that really impacted me, and most of you know him, is Gene Grass. And he stood for me many times, believing in me, helping me through difficult times. There was another gentleman by the name of Lenny Meyer, who was a business associate, that in the midst of my transition of running from God to coming back to him, he just treated me like I was a Christian. That's all he did. He stood for me, just believed that I was a believer. It's the first time anybody had done that. It impacted me. It gave me a way back to make a choice to come back to Christ. My dad, after he became a Christian, he became one of those people that stood for me. And each of those three stood for me in a way of believing that I could be something that I wasn't at that point, but something that I could be. And they stood for me and believed in me and helped me walk in that process. The one that made the biggest impact was my wife that stood for me. Due to the fact that she stood through my anger, my control, my manipulation, that she put her life and healing before mine, waiting for the work God was doing in my life to take hold, she stood and did not give up, even though I was not deserving of her long-suffering. These people made a huge impact in my life. What can we do about homelessness? What can we do about social injustice in whatever form it takes? What can we do? This takes us up to our next steps part of our service. What is the next step you will take for social justice? Will you stand for someone? First of all, do you know who stood for you? And will you call them and let them know? Who are you called to stand for? There's a blank on there. That you can fill in. And will you stand and be called to stand for the homeless, for the one, for the many, or for the cause? How would you like to be treated? So this morning, as you take a little time just to fill out your communication cards, to fill out the next steps, process this. What is God calling you to do? He stood for you. Will you stand for others? Thank you.